camp, attending a conference, time away, maybe even a powerful worship service. And it's over and you have to descend the mountain. And as you come back to those everyday common things, you're often hit with difficult situations. And it can really be a test of faith. There have been a lot of kids that have gone away to camp this summer. And it's been great to be able to pray for them and pray that they do have mountaintop experiences. And to those of you parents who've had your kids go away, I would suggest you be aware of this struggle of coming down the mountain. Talk to them about it. Pray for them. And the rest of us should be praying for them. And the kids that have gone to Rockridge this summer and get to know Christ and then come back to hard situations. Coming off the mountain can be a shock. You can go from that place of where it's like heaven on earth to a place where you feel like, wow, I can't even see him anymore. Maybe some of you are facing this. And again, we have to ask, what is our vision? Do we look at the problems and want to escape? To go back to the mountain? Or move forward with what God has for us? For Jesus, he was facing the cross. And William Barclay notes, the mountain of transfiguration is only given to us to give us strength for the daily ministry and to enable us to walk the way of the cross. Susanna Wesley had a prayer. She said, "Help me, Lord, to remember that religion is not to be confined to the church or the closet, nor exercised only in prayer and meditation, but that everywhere I am, in thy presence." The distraught father comes to Jesus. He has confidence in Jesus' ability to heal his son. Jesus heals the boy, and then he addresses the disciples, getting them to look at the real nature of faith. It's not the amount of faith that is the issue, but rather its focus. It's not the size that's important, it's the God in whom you believe. Either the disciples were relying on their own abilities to do the exorcism, or they were doing something that God had not intended them to do. Jesus does not point to the amount of faith, but to the effectiveness. Faith's not a matter of the more you have, but the more you can accomplish. It's not a gift of magic that can somehow be manipulated. Rather, as Wilkins puts it, faith is confidence that we can do what God calls us to do. It's taking God at his word. The smallest prayer to the one true God will produce great things. However, the most elaborate prayer or offering to a God of your own making is useless. The disciples should not place confidence in the ability that they have, but confidence that God has called them to do something and that they can do it in his strength. Faith means that if God has called us to do something, he will accomplish it in us through his power. We just have to follow in obedience. Faith in God is what enables us to remove those hills of difficulty which block our path in following what he has called us to do. It's not the amount of faith that works miracles. It's the focus of our faith. What is important is the God in whom we believe. Peter, James, and John didn't see clearly who Jesus was. Their view was distorted. It took the transfiguration for them to see that he was not just divinely gifted, but it was actually himself divine. The disciples in the valley didn't see things clearly. They were looking at their own strength. They were still not getting it. They needed to know the one true God. Our vision, too, can be hindered so that we don't see him clearly for who he is. We can put on glasses and miss the immensity of the truth of his incarnation. We can lose the impact of his divinity. When we see Jesus for who he is, we have a new way of looking at reality. If Jesus is the Son of God, which the events of the Transfiguration declare him to be, then our view of life is changed. We see things through a clear lens. We view everything through his ordering of the world. And that affects then how we view other people, how we treat them. It affects our values, our priorities, what we do with our income, what we watch on TV, what we say, what we do. His living presence in our lives radically challenges all that we do and are. Everything that we are is impacted by the way we see Jesus. But it's not just our vision that needs to be clear. We also need to open our ears and listen. On the mountain, Peter is busy talking about what to do. And God interrupts. It's as though the Father is saying, Peter, if you really want to understand who Jesus is and what he's come to do, be quiet. Stop trying to figure it out on your own and listen to what he reveals to you. As we read through the rest of the Gospel of Matthew, we see Jesus continuing to lead Peter and the other disciples to a clear comprehension. And what is required is that they stop talking long enough to listen to him. We must listen to his guidance on the way that we live our lives. We are to follow the Father's command to listen to his Son, seeing him for who he is, putting our faith in him, being obedient to what he calls us to do. Take off the glasses that distorts his image and open your ears. Let's pray. Jesus, I think at times maybe we can just be so familiar with you. We know the stories. We read them. We know the songs. And we lose sight that you are the Son of God. We lose sight of your power, your glory. Today, as we reflect on this passage regarding your transfiguration, and as we come and we partake of communion, may we get a fresh glimpse of you, seeing who you are and what you have done for us. And in the midst of those day-to-day struggles that we face, may our vision of you not be distorted, but put our faith in you, knowing you can overcome the obstacles we face. And Lord, may we listen to you, not just continually talking, following our own ideas, but stopping to hear your voice. Jesus, we thank you for redeeming us. May we follow you in truth. In your precious and holy name, amen.